Welcome to the CCTA radio show. Thank you for joining us. By the way, folks, I want to pass on that based on the date that this is airing, which would be March 2nd. Come Tuesday, go out and vote if you have not yet voted. Tuesday is election day and the primary election day. I ask you to go out and vote. If you're listening to this show real early on Saturday morning, I believe the polls are open until 3 p.m. on Saturday. But folks, go out and do your civic duty. Vote. My name is Bob Griswold.
My name is Alan Harrer.
Glenn Fink.
Mary Griswold.
Again, thank you. Mary, you have some articles that you wanted to start off with?
An appeals court has struck down the New York City law permitting 800,000 non-citizens and illegal dreamers to vote. Now, New York City passed this rule and said that they could vote because they live here and they attend school here. And the court says no. The local law, they were called municipal voters. They would be entitled to vote in municipal elections for mayor, public advocate, comptroller, borough president, and a council member. The law defines a municipal voter as a person who is not a United States citizen on the date of the election in which they're voting. And they have to be a permanent resident or authorized to work in the United States, be a resident of New York City, and I don't know how they determine that. I really don't.
You'd think it would be owning property.
Well, I think.
I mean, owning or leasing.
Can anybody afford to own property in New York City?
Owning or leasing property.
I think an interesting thing. Now, we were in Massachusetts where they had the town meeting. And in voting at the town meeting, when you were a resident, when you lived in the city and you went to vote in the town meeting for whatever the appropriations were, if you happened to own a lot of property in town, but actually your residence was outside of town, you got to sit in the visitor's section. You didn't get to vote, even though your property was also going to fall under whatever those financial.
And you also had to be a registered voter. But that's a throwback to colonial days where we actually did have a town meeting. The town was, by the time we left, up to almost 8,000 people. And they gathered in one of the school auditoriums, and you had seats on the floor for registered voters, and you had bleachers for anyone who was there to watch. And the entire budget for the next year was gone over line by line in front of the voters, and most votes were stand up because things were pretty obvious. You know, if all the yeas stand up, and if it's a majority, okay, fine. Very rarely did they actually have to count, but every item on that budget, line by line, was gone over with the citizens. Now, it was a circus, and sometimes it lasted two or three nights, but that goes back to the days of colonial America and how they did things.
Well, and I mean, the situation where owning property versus living there, that's the reality with us right here in Craven County.
Yeah.
I mean, if you own property in New Bern, but you live in the county, you don't get a say in the aldermen's.
In the aldermen's meeting, yeah. Correct, yeah.
That seems odd to me.
Why?
Because if you own property, you have a vested interest in what happens there.
That's not how it works, though.
I mean, if you go back to colonial America, you couldn't vote if you didn't own property.
But if you didn't have it that way, Mary, you could then be voting in several different locations depending on where your property is.
Yeah, that's
Whereas,
true.
Whereas, you know, you're only theoretically, however they define residence, that you only can live in one place at a time, theoretically, I guess. Yeah. You have to have a, you know, defined residence. But, you know, this whole topic is so reassuring to hear that there was some court that's finally made a decision in the right direction. I mean, there's somebody going against, you know, any kind of reasonable view of what this country stands for. You know, I wonder that whether the judges were Trump appointees or who they were. I mean, and unfortunately, a lot of decisions are coming down to the political party of the judges.
Well, this
is really discouraging and frightening, actually.
Well, this was the Supreme Court of the state of New York.
Yeah.
which is amazing.
And then that actually is Democrat controlled right now, because there was a couple of years ago, there was a judgment in the gerrymandering of the political districts that Democrat Party didn't like. So they kicked out the Chief Justice and appointed a new Chief Justice from another party. And then they had, quote, an impartial group set up the districts. And that party still didn't like the results of that. So they decided to use their own with their...
Sounds like North Carolina.
Yeah,
sounds
like North Carolina. Yeah, that has a familiar sound to it.
You would think that even if somebody is a judge and they represent a particular political party, or that's what they've been all their lives, that once they take the oath of office to weigh these decisions based on the facts and relevance to the law, that they would rise above that. But as we saw with the Trump decision, that judge, what was it, Erdogan or whatever his name was, that came out with that, what amounts to over $400 million fine, that when there was nobody injured, they couldn't demonstrate one victim of whatever he was being accused of doing. And now my understanding is that Trump's lawyers are going to argue it based on the Eighth Amendment.
That's right. Yeah.
That and for excessive penalty or excessive punishment, however they define it in that amendment.
And the irony is that any of that 400 plus million that was going to be collected was not going to any victims. It was going to the state. Because there were no victims.
So you have
additionally, if Trump was to sell his properties for the 400 and something million, that is exact opposite of what the judge said that those properties were worth.
Yeah.
So the reason he's got to pay this is because the judge said the property's not worth this. If he sells it for that amount, well, where does the judge stand?
Well, apparently New York's going to have some additional problems with business owners, because as a result of that ruling, there's been some developers have come out and said they're not going to do business in New York anymore. In fact, the governor, Hochul, came out and she was trying to kind of forestall that, you know, response.
This only applies
by coming out
to
and saying, yeah, this doesn't, you don't have, the rest of you don't have to worry. We're really just trying to get Trump.
I mean, essentially. And she felt like that was going to help her case, right. Which anybody with a little bit of thought process should know that's the problem.
Yeah, that just confirms the fact that it's who you know and who you are and not what you've done.
Well, what it also says is that if a state with financial problems, which New York does have, wants to, they can just seize somebody's business, you know.
Yeah.
And just for the record, this is what the Eighth Amendment says. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted.
So what's specific for excessive fines?
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
And they say they look at comparable cases in the past, and they've said there's nothing even close to this.
No.
So if they apply that
justly,
I mean, I think he's got a really good case.
And if this stands, it sets a really ugly precedent, because anybody with a flourishing business is subject to takeover when the state needs money.
Yeah. Well, there are a significant number of businesses that are actually really loading up their suitcases and getting ready to move out of the state. And that's a shame to the innocent residents, because not everybody in the Northeast, by the way, we're transplanted from the Northeast, but not everybody from the Northeast is evil. So,
but what happens too, how much tax revenue to the state of New York did the Trump organization generate? Mm-hmm. So they're losing that. Mm-hmm. How much tax revenue to the city of New York did the Trump organization generate?
And I don't think they care. I don't think they care. One iota, just like California. They've got, what, a 60-some-odd billion-dollar deficit, and they keep giving money out to the illegals, giving them free health care and paying for all these things.
So and there's no acknowledgement of the consequences.
It doesn't seem to be. And, you know, we're doing the same thing at the federal level with this bill that they came out to support Ukraine. I mean, that whole thing, the amount of money involved in that, nobody seems to look at the fact that we're $34 trillion in debt and we can't keep funding and defending every country in the world. That's what we're doing.
One of the Democrats came out the other day and said, well, this is actually for us because we're supporting the defense industry. So the money's coming back here. Well, that sounds like money laundering to me.
I think it's a circular argument that can't stand up true critical thinking.
Yes. But it was, again, we are more concerned about Ukraine's border than we are our own border. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah. You know, this whole issue about what we're doing and what we've been doing for the past 50, 60 years in this country is fighting these little wars all over the place. And it's draining us. It's economically, same thing with the our military. They're spread out all over the world. I was reading the other day, it was like 200,000 U.S. troops are stationed throughout the world. 200,000. And that blew my mind. First, I thought it was a misprint, but I checked it. And they're spread all over. And what you do is you leave them in these little pods all over, and then they're vulnerable to assault, like they've been doing in Iraq. They attack.
And we're not winning any of these. We haven't won any of these wars. Yeah. And we're at a point where we're telling Israel we don't want them to win their war.
And I think that this whole idea of where America sets the limits on what they do with their military needs to be discussed.
Where do we go, and who do we, and what other countries are going to be willing to pay for their own defense? Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They built on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you again for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Glenn, you had something you were going to add.
Yeah, before break, I was really just thinking that that's the whole United Nations thing. I mean, the world isn't participating in that at reasonable levels. We over-support it. We don't share values with that organization at all, and we just need to get out of that. And somebody said move it into low-income housing or maybe high-income housing, but we should be done with them and all these world organizations because they're against us. It's not like we don't align. They are against us.
Yeah.
Our freedoms are standing in the way of one world government. And the treaty that the WHO is asking for now would totally overrule our sovereignty. You know, we could have an outbreak of measles, and the WHO could literally come in and say, we're going to run your country because you have an epidemic.
Mary, temporarily just define the WHO.
The World Health Organization.
Thank you. We're not talking about...
We're not talking about the music group.
No. <okay. laughs> By the way...
You know, if you go back... Oh, excuse me, Bob. Do you want
to... I just wanted to add one other quick thing. By the way, we finished up a course on critical thinking just last week, and one of the things that we needed to do was to analyze a couple of articles that what was stated in the articles, and they happened to come from the Council on Foreign Relations, and very, very tainted in the way that they were written. Again, this is another globalist organization that we just need to watch out for. We need to become we need to retain our sovereignty. Alan.
Just when we started talking at the end of the last session about the influence of what do we do militarily? What is the United States' responsibility? How do we define what we get involved in, what we avoid? If you go back to what George Washington said at his final address when he was leaving office. He warned Americans to beware of entanglements in foreign wars. And for a long period of time in our history, we respected that and we went along with that. And during that period of time, we had the longest period of peace and economic prosperity we've ever had. And then came along World War One, and we had a Democrat, Woodrow Wilson. He runs for office, promising that he would keep us out of the war in Europe. Yeah. He gets elected, and within 2 years, we're involved in the war. And then he starts this thing that it's a war to save democracy. He goes into this general idea that we as the United States, instead of, as Washington said, it should be America first, and we should judge everything on its impact on our country. Then it switched over to we have an obligation to protect and expand democracy to other countries in the world. And that has really led us down a wrong path over the past 100 years.
And necessarily want it.
And to Alan, to what you just said, also to expand democracy, not to expand the republic. Not to expand a republic as we know it. By the way, part of Washington's speech was to not allow for most favored nation status. And that's something that has been abused totally.
Another aspect of this, one of the major differences between the Biden administration and the Trump administration is that President Trump knew how to wage economic war. He knew how to put tariffs on China. He knew how to make America energy independent, which diluted Russia's income. They couldn't have afforded to attack Ukraine under Trump because they didn't have the money, because he kept oil prices low. And again, American energy independence had a lot of geopolitical impact in terms of lessening the power of Saudi Arabia and OPEC and Russia. And as soon as we gave that up, and as soon as Biden took the tariffs off China, we put ourselves at an economic disadvantage, which made for a less stable world.
Yeah. And if you look at the wars that we've been involved with, say from the Korean War to the present time, most of them, all of them, have been failures.
Mm-hmm.
Korea was a failure. Vietnam was a definite failure. This recent episode with Afghanistan, where we put our troops in. Look at Iraq. Mm-hmm. Now, Iraq, for years, Iraq was a competitor with Iran, more or less equal. Sometimes one would be an ascendance and the other, and they were, but they were still existing. We go in thinking we're going to make Iraq into some, you know, democracy or republic or whatever. And what do we have now? Iraq is controlled by Iran. We've weakened it to the point where now Iran is in the ascendance, which is what they want. And the money we spent. And now we are in a situation, militarily, where we are very vulnerable, and we're not doing anything to defend ourselves. Like this thing about the satellites.
Another Russians satellite. Yeah.
That they would attack and destroy our satellite, which controls our military. The GPS system and these you cannot wage a war without it anymore. Right. But instead of spending money, the money we spent in the Middle East could have been spent on a protective system to protect our satellites or protect us from missiles. We got these countries like North Korea, and now Iran's developing, a nuclear weapon. We don't have any defense against it because we backed off. What Reagan started was this notion of having a missile defense system that would prevent that. And we need it more now than ever, because then it was only one competitor. It was Russia or us. But now these other countries, like Iran, who believes that the people who will willingly go out and kill themselves are suicidal for their beliefs, are going to hold back from using nuclear weapons against their enemies. They're not.
It's interesting. The only war that we actually won since World War II was Ronald Reagan's attack on Grenada.
Right.
That was it, when we drove the communists out of Grenada. That was the only one we won.
Yeah, overwhelming force, have a mission, go
in
there.
Don't tell the press until after it's over.
And get out. That's the other thing. We go into these wars, and it's just like, we hit parts of the Middle East and parts of Afghanistan because that's where the terrorists were based from. But you go in, you hit them, you knock them out, then you leave.
Yeah.
And it's just like these rockets that are coming out of Yemen for the Houthi rebels. Mm-hmm. They keep sending these rockets out, destroying these ships. And what are we doing about it? They hit us, we throw a little bit. They should be in, go in. We should overwhelmingly go in and destroy them.
Yeah.
That's the way to stop them. Then pull back out again.
Yeah.
So.
Another quick aside. Folks, if you get a chance, go find the movie The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. And it stars Alan Arkin and a bunch of others. And the premise of the movie was that there was a small country that was... A small town, or a very small country, that was going broke, and they needed to do something.
That's The Mouse That Roared.
Was it The Mouse That Roared? Okay.
Yes.
Sorry about that. The Mouse That Roared. The Mouse That Roared, then. Wrong movie. There's a small country that was going broke, and they decided to wage war against the United States so that they could lose and then get all of the subsidies that everybody else gets.
One of the things on our defense that I keep hearing, math that really concerns me, is our ship inventory, our defense ship inventory.
It is way down.
I mean, it's way down, and China is amped up making warships and carriers. We've got big challenges.
We're in a bad place.
What we're doing strategically is by overextending ourselves, okay? We put these aircraft carrier fleets, which is part of our big part of our naval force, into these areas, and we leave them there for extended periods of time, making them vulnerable. Where if they were kept closer to our country and used when we needed them, then brought back again, they get the defense of being closer to your home country. Mm. And that's a big thing when you come to trying to defend a naval squadron, how far they are from home base.
Yes.
Very, very critical.
Yeah.
And the Chinese are creating man-made islands to extend their territory,
their bases,
because they want to control that whole ocean in that area. There's a book that came out today, or is coming out in the next couple of days, called Blood Money by Peter Schweitzer, talking about America's relationship with the Chinese, particularly our politicians and their relationship with the Chinese and following the money on many of them. I think it's going to be a very interesting book.
I would have to believe he's going to get into companies and them being so integrated into China.
Yes.
And I tell you, I understand free market and all that, and it's a big world, but I'm not for government control, but there should be some morals and ethics that says you just don't aid and abet your enemy.
And we should not be giving away our technology, which is what happens. I know the way that China used to work was not only if you wanted a product made over there, not only did you have to give us the product, you had to show us all of the technology involved. It's not like you're just machining screws or doing something there. You've got to show us the technology.
And, you know, if you look back at World War II, what won World War II was our industrial might. We had the industrial capacity way beyond any other country, and we put that to full-time use. We stopped producing cars, produced that. Now, where is that industry now? It's in China. It's overseas. We don't have the capacity. I heard the other day that they're selling U.S. steel is going to be purchased by a Japanese concern.
Yeah.
We're selling off our own industrial capability.
Yeah, I don't know if that went through. I know that it was.
It was being talked about.
Trump stopped
it. Likely to happen.
It was tried during Trump's administration, and he stopped it.
Yeah.
But now it's coming up again during the Biden administration.
I sure hope it doesn't go through because I've got the same concern. And I mean, selling insurance doesn't increase our value. You got to make stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, it's interesting that folks look back just not only a year ago, maybe with the short supply of automobiles, and that short supply of automobiles was because the computer chips were made in China and they weren't coming through. So we could make the iron pieces, but we couldn't use the cars. Where do we go from here? I know that we're going to take a break in another few seconds.
Well, I'm coming back with the intelligence community.
Okay, well, then we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters of the show. Mary, you have a direction for us to go.
There was an article. It was on Monday, and it was in the Daily Caller. And they reported that the intelligence community is warning if President Trump is reelected, that key agencies may be politicized within the intelligence committee. And I read that and I laughed.
Is the implication that they're not currently politicized?
That is the implication. Well, and also the definition of politicized, I think they're afraid he's going to come in and clean house. I think that's the real thing, and he's going to depoliticize them. But in the vocabulary of the Democrat Party, depoliticizing is politicizing.
Well, the bureaucracies in this country and the government agencies have gotten so large and, like you say, independent because these are career individuals.
They're not elected.
They don't
elected.
Come and go with the different administrations, which used to be more of that actually when they were smaller, okay? So you got more change. These people believe, really, that they know best for the country, not the common you know, deplorable voter. They know best what's for us.
Or the Constitution. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what they do is they're protecting themselves and they're dictating what we're doing. It's like to rise in these intelligence agencies and so on, you must have a global view. You must have a view of that you are better than, and you make the decisions, which allows them then, justifies them doing the things the FBI have been doing. You know, going into people's homes, overwhelming force.
Illegal surveillance. You know,
they bring 20 people with rifles and protective gear on because somebody was protesting an abortion clinic, and they come in and they scare the hell out of his family. And that's the kind of over, and we need to take some of the power away from these agencies. For example, the FBI, when they were first started, they were strictly investigative body. They did not have arrest authority. And it wasn't until the late 1930s that they gave them arrest authority. That needs to be taken away from them. So, for example, if they do an investigation of somebody here in Craven County and they find a reason to believe that this crime is being committed, they should have to go to the local sheriff, the local law enforcement, and they conduct the arrest if there's sufficient justification for it, not send these people from some federal agency. This is a federal law enforcement force that needs to be curtailed, and that could easily be done. Just take away their arrest authority. Go back to where it used to be.
I'm not sure of this, but I wonder. You mentioned that they got their arrest authority in the 1930s.
I believe it was, yeah.
I wonder if that was in response to what happened as a result of Prohibition when you had Al Capone and those characters that showed up.
Well, it could have been in reaction to that. The Prohibition was repealed, I think, about 1931, 32.
Well, I'm thinking Elliot Ness. Thinking Elliot Ness, yeah, and that, because I believe they did arrest people.
Yeah, but they did not have that at the beginning.
Okay,
they did not have
I didn't know that.
Do that, and this is where the abuse takes place. In my opinion, this is what you see. I mean, these overwhelming arrest authorities, they arrest people in an airport. They could arrest, if they had grounds to arrest a person, they could do it without intimidating them. This is all scare tactics. They're trying to scare the rest of us from doing anything that they could possibly use against us, because they will bring this force.
Well, I remember when Roger Stone was arrested.
Yes.
Roger Stone was unarmed. His wife was deaf. They had scuba divers in the canal behind the house. They had CNN on the scene when they did the arrest.
Yeah.
I mean, it was obscene.
Yeah.
It really was. And his lawyer had said, you know, let me know what time you want me to report to the court, and I will do that. And instead, how much money did they spend on this stupidness?
Yeah. Yeah, they can do that, but when they have somebody like this individual that's accused of killing this girl in Georgia, he gets arrested in New York and they let him out.
Yeah.
They don't do any, but they can come in and arrest somebody that's on basically a civil sort of offense, whatever they were charging the person with overwhelming force.
If I understand, in that case in New York, they intentionally let him out before the ICE people arrived. Could serve a warrant.
As it relates to this whole business growth thing within these organizations, let's face it, leadership in any business, their job is to grow the business.
Yeah.
So it's an unnatural act to try without competition, and they don't really have competition, to stay small, stay lean, stay on target, not grow, because it's in their best interest to grow.
Yeah.
You got more responsibility, all this stuff. So in its nature, it's got a problem, and if we don't put things, as you mentioned, Alan, to deter or control, not migration, but where they continue to get bigger and bigger, we need to figure out how to shackle every government agency in that area.
And one thing I think that Trump made a big mistake on, and I'm pretty sure if he asked him, he'd probably agree, you cannot control an agency by promoting somebody from that agency to control that agency for the reason you just mentioned. They're part of that same zeitgeist. They're part of the same thinking pattern. So they're not even going to see the problems. That's an out. You need an outside person. Like when they promoted this Christopher Wray to be the head of the FBI, that's a serious, that was a serious mistake. They need somebody independent to come in, look at that agency from a completely different viewpoint, and then make the changes. Identify what needs to be done and then make the changes.
No checks and balances.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think our founding fathers ever envisioned the bureaucratic mess that we are dealing with today.
Yeah. Well, we've given too much authority to the bureaucrats. It's like...
We need to take away their money.
Well, yeah, we do. We do need to take away their money and their authority. It's like this business about the EVs. Now, Biden's administration comes out and says, well, we're not going to mandate electric vehicles. Okay. But what they're doing is the bureaucrats are increasing the requirements for gasoline car emissions to the point they can't be met.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't meet them with their overall fleet, they have to go rely more and more on electric vehicles. So they say one thing and they come at it another way. And the Congress needs, like you say, it's the money, and Congress needs to get back to retaining their authority to make rules and regulations, not let the bureaucrats give them some general order, and then they figure out all the in-betweens, and that's where you lose your freedom.
And from what I've heard, no bill should be more than 8 pages long.
Yeah.
And it should deal with one issue.
Right.
But the Biden administration has backed down a little bit on its push for EVs. Not a lot, but a little bit.
They're losing the union workers
in
Detroit because these plants don't need as many workers and they're not selling. And so that's the only reason. Not because, see, the thing about it, you've got to be careful about an election year, especially with Democrats and Biden administration. They're going to make some changes. They're going to imply they're making changes or through that, but their philosophy has not changed.
Correct.
They're going to come back to the same thing as soon as they get all their power back. They're just going to want to make it look like they're making some positive changes.
They will say anything that they need to get elected, yes.
And they will name any bill the opposite of what it actually does.
Yeah, it's like the inflation, what was that, the
Inflation Reduction Act. Which had nothing
had
to do.
85% of it was all expenditures, new expenditures for green energy.
Yes.
That's right. Where are we going now?
You had some things you wanted to talk about.
Oh, about green energy.
Yes. Oddly enough.
Oddly enough, we're going there.
Near and dear to my heart. There has been increasing pushback against the whole idea of man-made global warming, which primarily allegedly was due to CO2 levels. And it's coming from a lot of scientists in this country and worldwide. And they're basically saying is that the original belief that, or conclusion, that man's activities in burning fossil fuels are the cause of climate change, there's no scientific basis for it. It's all speculation. There is, and I remember this when I was a kid in high school, they taught you in science class, there's two types of relationships. There's correlation and there's causation. Correlation is when two things go together, but one's not causing the other. Okay, they're related or they kind of go along together, but one doesn't cause the other. Then there's causation, which is what science looks for. If you want to find out what's causing cancer, you got to find out the cause of it. And that's what they're saying, is that basically the CO2 levels are correlated with Earth temperature. What now this second group is saying, that the CO2 levels are being caused by the warming of the Earth, not the opposite. and that the warming of the Earth is being caused by changes in solar flare, solar intensity, alteration in the angle of the Earth. There's a lot of other things that are causing it way before man started burning, you know, coal and so on and so forth. So this needs to be examined, because what they're trying to do now is going to destroy our economy. Yeah.
And some other things too.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Now you're wanting to say, well, this don't. How is it? Don't confuse the issue with facts.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back. Hopefully, even back to the same subject.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Thank you, folks, for staying with us and listening to the sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Alan.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on this discussion that we were having about the man-made global warming hoax. That's what I like to call it, because I believe that's what it is. Here in North Carolina, and I believe it was 2019, maybe 2020. Anyway, there was a bill, I think it was House Bill 951, that was passed and signed into law by the governor that essentially did two things. Number one, it required all the electrical generating plants in North Carolina to reduce their carbon emissions by 70% by 2030 and to achieve carbon neutrality by 2050. Now, those requirements would dramatically increase the use and production of solar energy and wind energy. Now, you could replace it with nuclear, but the left doesn't allow any more nuclear plants. There hadn't been a nuclear plant in North Carolina since the Harris plant in Wake County back in the 1980s. Anyway, but North Carolina needs the General Assembly which is controlled by the Republicans now. They need to step up and repeal that. And they need to repeal it as soon as possible because it is leading to more subsidies for solar panels, for the, like I said, the windmills. They've got plans now to build two windmill farms, one off Kitty Hawk and one off Bald Head Island. And those wind farms are supposed to generate a considerable percentage of our electricity. I can't think of anything more vulnerable. Now, we're talking about protecting the United States. What is more vulnerable than having a lot of your electrical production being done offshore where any enemy submarine or whatever could come in and take them all out? And, you know, things like that, just from a military standpoint and a security standpoint. And I read the other day, you know, what happens to these, the people making money off these solar energy things and wind farms. It's like solar panels for your house. I don't go through low-income neighborhoods and see solar panels on their roofs, okay? Where do you see them? You see them in the high-income areas where they put these things in when they're building their houses. What we're doing with the subsidies, we are taking taxpayer money from low-income people and we're giving it to high-income people. And what is the sense of that? For something that, you know, we're hurting the lower-income group with these ridiculous subsidies. So they need to stop the subsidies, they need to stop the wind farms, and go back to burning whatever is necessary to keep the, use America's resources. Like I said about earlier, Mary, when you mentioned about the fossil fuels and the energy independence. That's well, what we remember, need to do in North Carolina. We need to stop this nonsense.
Remember what happened a couple of years ago in Texas during the winter because they were depending on wind farms, which don't work below a certain temperature, and people froze to death.
Yeah.
We don't need that.
No.
Additionally, I would say we have friends up in New England that are very, 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 very much so against the wind farms out in the ocean because they're disorienting all of the fish, the migration patterns, and
the whales and the dolphins,
as they're sinking the bases for these for the windmills, it's just disorienting everything. Again, fish patterns are totally changed.
And what's the ironic thing about it? It's all based on false facts. It's all based on a theory that's unproven.
Right.
Now, if we were sure that man-made consumption of fossil fuel was going to be detrimental to our environment in some foreseeable future, that'd be different. But we're solving a problem that doesn't exist.
And we're not solving it.
Yeah. They're trying to do anyway.
At the beginning, you kind of, and I know you don't necessarily personally dismiss nuclear, but we shouldn't allow anybody to dismiss nuclear. These modular units, that is a safe, green energy, and we should do everything in our power to help move ourselves to that, not just as a subsidiary mode, but as a primary mode in the future if our goal is to be green.
Yeah, and that shows what you're saying, Glenn, is that the people who are advocating the solar and wind, it's like a religion with them. They're not looking at the facts or say, well, what are some other energy sources that are safe and maintainable and so on, like nuclear? No, they're against everything except wind and solar. That's the only thing they want to support. And it's going to kill our economy. There's no modern civilization can exist on sporadic, unpredictable energy. And that's what solar and wind are.
But I don't think the science drove us there. I think it's who makes the money.
Absolutely.
If you make those choices. It's not the best solution. It's the most profitable for those in power.
Yes.
Well, remember, of course, it's shifted from global warming to global cooling to global warming to global cooling. Now it's just called global change.
Climate change.
Climate change. Okay.
Yes, so no matter which way the temperature of the Earth
they
grows,
want the money.
They could say it's a problem. we're the cause of it.
You know? Yeah, I'm going to change. We're kind of done with that, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to change the subject totally and talk about what happens when you don't enforce the law. We have a bunch of cities that have enacted no bail laws, a bunch of district attorneys who are letting people loose that they shouldn't let loose. And this is a story about something that happened in San Francisco. There's a store in San Francisco called Fredrickson's Hardware and Paint, and it's in the Cow Hollow neighborhood, which means nothing to me, but might mean something to somebody else. And they have reached the point that they are announcing that during certain hours, they will be taking customers one at a time with an escort. One of the employees will escort the shopper through the store to make their purchases. And they've done it because they've had rampant shoplifting, and a business cannot stay in business with rampant theft. A lot of stores in San Francisco and a lot of other places have closed because of shoplifting. If they're not making any money, they have no reason to stay open. That's their purpose. So for 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the evening, the entrance to the store is blocked, and there's a sign there that says, due to rampant shoplifting, Fredrickson has introduced a one-on-one shopping experience. Wait here and a clerk will be right with you to help you with all your shopping needs. And the comment from the owner is, we just want to make it uncomfortable for the thieves so that they go somewhere else.
Well, they had a similar thing in Philadelphia. They were having so many carjackings at fuel stations. That one fuel station, the owner hired some armed guards to protect the people who were in there putting fuel in their cars, because so many people would have their car stolen right at the gas station. People would come up, hold a gun to them, take their car, take their keys, and ride off.
And people don't think about it, but that's inflationary, because you have to hire more staff or sell less things, because it's got to be a business model that works.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So it's crazy.
Well, the only thing we can hope for, and this election will be a big bellwether as to whether the people who are in these cities are finally going to start seeing the light, because they voted for these people. These problems are occurring primarily, I'm not saying exclusively, but primarily in Democrat-run cities where they have weak, ineffective law enforcement, not because of the police. It's because they're being restrained. They're not being allowed to actually go after these people, because the prosecutors just let them out. They have no cash bail and these other things. But the question is, how much of will the citizens of these cities take before they rebel and vote these people out? We're going to find out in November.
Hopefully, well, natural consequences will really come to bear.
Washington, D.C. has had a bunch of carjackings and a bunch of other crimes. Their crime rate is through the roof.
Yeah.
And since our capital is there and our congressmen are there, it may come to their attention as it begins to impact them.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, it impacts the cities from the standpoint of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
For example, last time I went to New York City was probably about 15 years ago. Fine. No, I didn't have any problems. I felt safe walking around. So and so what? I wouldn't go back to New York now if you held a gun in my head.
Right.
Because it's not safe. And you take your family there?
No.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't go to Chicago. For all these cities, that it's the country's becoming, it's getting so bad in these areas that you can't travel freely like you used to. Like we were up in, my wife and I were up in near Asheville last week. And we were thinking about taking the grandkids down to downtown Asheville. And we were warned that there were people having their cars broken into. There were people sleeping all over the streets. And this is a town in North Carolina. So we decided not to go. And I'm sure we're not the only ones that are avoiding these cities because of that. So,
but, Alan, it's not just a town. It's a, quote, a resort or a supposedly a town that was a
tourist.
Sure. A tourist town, yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted to see San Francisco, but I wouldn't go near it now. And that's sad, because these cities, some of them relied on the tourist traffic income. I mean, you think about Chicago. Chicago has some great museums.
Yeah.
It has a lot of really good tourist attractions. Would you really want to go there now?
I wouldn't.
You know, I want to bring up one really quick thing. I'm going to bring up an AI thing. Apparently, Wendy's is now installing AI menu boards at some of their locations. Now, what's the AI menu board do? Well, it's dynamic pricing of the product. Based on time of day, the product that you order, the price may go up or down based on the relationship of the staff that they've got there and the busyness. You know, at a peak time, you might have to pay a little bit more to get your burger or whatever else. So you may have to order what you want and not know what it's going to cost you. And that sounds like the government.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, many places for years have had early bird specials. But you knew going in what your early bird special was going to cost you. So, I mean, in that sense, it almost makes sense. But I want to know what something's going to cost me before I order it.
Then don't get any medical procedures done.
That's
because you're sure not going to find out about that, even though Dale Falwell's done his best to make a difference on it.
Yes, and yes, to make the difference. That's right. Again, so folks, I'm going to again ask, please go out and vote. It's time to vote. It's time to step up and do your thing. Mary?
We have a link. We have a candidate questionnaire at cctaxpayers.com. We sent out questionnaires. Every candidate that answered is up there, and it is unedited. It's exactly what they said.
Thank you again for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m., some days at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern,